picking up where I left off in the last half hour. Today I'm talking about Abraham Maslow, Maslow's hierarchy of felt needs in light of the Word of God, or in light to the Word of God. His hierarchy of needs is foundational to evaluating where a group is going to come to consensus. It is the key to the changing of paradigms. In other words, to shift a person's focus from that which is above, the command of the parent, and eventually the command of God, that would interfere with our temporal needs, our material needs, as Jesus had a temporal or a material need in the garden, in the wilderness. He put aside those needs in obedience to the Father. In other words, it is written, my dad says, and he gives to us a patriarchal paradigm. Jesus never once stepped out of this patriarchal paradigm. Now, Adam and Eve, before they sinned, they lived in a patriarchal paradigm, or a top-down system. They did not let their flesh dictate the terms of right and wrong. They did not let the things of this world guide and direct them in setting standards. Now, Satan came along, and his whole agenda was to shift. It's not really a shift. He's the shifty one, the serpent. But to change the paradigm, from established law. So they had liberty in law, but he wanted to give them liberty in the flesh. And therein, what lies within the flesh? The Apostle Paul says, in my body, see, there is a law in my flesh. There's a war going on in me with my mind. See, as you studied this process, the environment stimulates dopamine, and then the mind then looks into the environment to get more of this pleasure that the environment stimulated. So that's the law of the flesh. But now the mind can decide to obey the command that would interfere with that self-environment cycle. So the dialectic is simply a process to get rid, to move the person away from, to annihilate this top-down system that interferes with human relationship. In other words, it's of the human, earth, fleshy relationship. So Paul says, who can deliver me from this body of death? Because the body is naturally designed to associate with that which is in the creation. Now the mind, he says, with my mind I set my mind on things above. In this case, he said, I love the law of God with my mind. But he said, that's not enough. But you see, who can deliver me from this body of death? If the law couldn't do it, who can do it? Well, it's Jesus Christ. Romans 7, the last few verses, Apostle Paul says, in Christ Jesus. See, there is no condemnation of chapter 8. And so I am set free from this curse, because the law simply came to curse. It's holy, it's pure, it's righteous. It describes the commands of God above my fleshly nature. And since I cannot fulfill it because my flesh is that strong. See, if you're in an environment that simulates the dopamine, and your mind then says, I want more, and you look into the environment, if you can't get out of the environment, that's all you've got going for you. And so that's why you flee adultery, flee fornication, because it's just too strong. You cannot stay in that environment, that sensuous experience, or that sensuous environment drawing you into experience in it, drawing you away by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Now, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and anybody who's been in education or in marketing, you've certainly studied these. They're felt needs, the physiological needs, the security needs, social needs, esteem needs, self-actualization needs. Now, this is all complex, but it all makes sense if you break it down. Physiological needs, as he said, is water, food, sleep, exercise. And so therein, if you don't have those needs, he starts with the lowest needs. If you don't have those needs satisfied, you can't. It's very difficult to deal with the next needs. And that's, now, it's physically true, fleshly true, spiritually not true. I mean, you can be hungry and still learn. You can need water and still learn. You can need sleep and still learn. You can have a lack of exercise and still learn. God can still speak to you. Jesus had a lack of food, and he still was obedient to the Father. But if you're doing this self-environmental dialectical cycle, you've got to start where people's needs are. You've got to identify what the common need is and then get people to focus or dialogue on that common need. And it's good. There's nothing wrong with having food. There's nothing wrong with having water. You better have those. There's nothing wrong with having sleep or exercise. You've got to have those. If you don't have those, you're going to die. See, what is it to gain the world and lose your soul? There comes a time where you will have to make a decision. Are you going to set your mind on things above or on things on the earth? And the Apostle Paul says, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood. That may come in your life. Are you going to let Maslow's hierarchy of felt needs, Satan, come along and say, well, okay, we've got to make sure everybody is fed? Now, am I speaking against feeding people? No. Am I speaking against giving people water? No. Or, it's important you have sleep. It's important you have these things. But these are temporal. And if these become your foundation, you end up negating. And how do they become? Marx says, by theory and practice, not only must your thoughts set your mind on the things of water, food, sleep, exercise. You notice that if you're doing something you're supposed to do and you keep focusing on getting some water, that it becomes more difficult to do what you're supposed to do. Now, God said he isn't going to give us a stone in place of bread. Now, the world man may, the boss may, mankind is greedy. Kurt is a man who trusts in man. That's why you're to trust in the Lord with all your heart. So the physiological needs are simply water, food, sleep, exercise. We all need those things. Then security needs, need for order, rules to guide action. And so there is this need for order in your life. There needs to be a consistency, a pattern that you can depend upon. And of course, in the garden, God provided water, food, sleep, exercise, and he provided order. Now, those that physical needs and security needs, those are all thesis-based. And that's what any good parent would do. They're going to provide order in their child's life. They're going to feed their children. They're going to clothe their children. They're going to allow them to have their necessary sleep. And they're going to exercise them. They have to do some, work around the house, hopefully. And in all that, you're learning order. You're learning rules. Somebody is giving you commands. Now, that's a thesis on an individual basis. That's what you need individually. Your need for order doesn't help if somebody else is doing it. Your need for water doesn't help you if somebody else is drinking it or eating your food that you need. Those are individual. Those are thesis-based, foundational for you to be here today. But then he moves to social needs, and that's for love and affection, for belongingness, freedom from fear. And you certainly need those too. But see, when you focus on those as your foundation in life, then you simply are on that which is the earth, human rights. And there comes a time in your life. Now, these are things that you have to decide. Do you want the love of the things of this world? Sometimes the love you want from somebody else, this desire for belongingness from somebody else, will interfere with your belief, with what is right, the command of God. See, Adam was confronted with this. Adam, do you love me? Do you remember Jesus turned to Peter? Peter, do you love me? And so there's the agape and the phileo and the eros and all those Greek terms. But you have to be careful because today those terms are all redefined. Because, see, even the agape can be redefined as that you're willing to give your life for somebody else, but it's internally, why are you doing it? You're wanting recognition from somebody else. And besides that, if it's not God's love in you, Christ in you, it may be good. It may be for a civic cause, it could benefit somebody else, but it has no eternal good. It's not spiritual good, it's just temporal good. It was good that Adam and Eve had the trees in the garden, it kept them alive. But that is not righteousness. Righteousness is doing what God commands and not doing that which he commands you not to. In other words, not doing that which he commands you not to do. Obedience. And so again, there's nothing wrong with love and affection, belongingness, fear, freedom from fear. Those are all temporal needs. And so therefore, if Jesus, he came for love, he was a loser, because he came as love to a world that loved itself and didn't love God. And his compassion was to the world. He shed his blood for you and for me because he loved us while we were yet sinners. And besides, what has he got to gain from this relationship? Because God said, let us create, you know, man, let us do this, let us create. And so there is already relationship with God. Now, the esteem needs. Now, we're moving to the antithesis. This is, you need somebody else. Now, remember, the thesis needs are just, you can get the water, you can design, you know, realize there's some order in your life, and you figure those things out, patterns, routines that you do throughout the day. But the social needs is what you need from somebody else. There's the other who's involved. Love is from somebody else. And freedom from fear. In other words, you don't want them beating up on you. You need to have a home environment where, you know, the children can be children. But then the esteem needs. That's self-respect, esteem of others. Now, self-esteem always comes from group esteem. And there is a stronger tie to the relationship. And this is where Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You got to satisfy the lower and move to the upper. Because his whole agenda is built on the flesh, on the carnal, on the cosmos, on the religions of this world, if you want to incorporate that way. In fact, he talks about the religions as one. And then finally, the highest is self-actualization needs, and he didn't consider that most people got there. That's fulfillment of individual abilities. In other words, you're doing in life that which will benefit others. Now, having said that, and Maslow simply identifies that which is of the earth. And as far as water, food, sleep, exercise, and those things, there's nothing wrong with that, but they're all under God. God is the authority. He's the one who directs our paths. But if we make these hierarchy of felt needs our foundation, we are doing the same pattern that Satan got Eve to praxis, the dialectical process. You're going to tie this self-environmental cycle together, and you're going to unite the whole world on that, because that's of the world. That's not of the Father. Now, let's look at who this Maslow is. If you get his journals, Journals of Abraham Maslow, edited by Lowry, R.J. Lowry, 1979. He died in 71. This is probably the second publishing that I have here, Volumes 1 and 2. Here's what, just to read a little bit about Abraham Maslow, this third force psychology guy. That's the guru for our whole new world system. I mean, you can't have this consensus dialogue and the consensus process in our nation, in your town hall meetings and in the schools, the group grades and the military, total quality leadership, the total quality management in the workplace, school to work for your elected officials, cops and their program for the police, you know, and just the Council of Foreign Relations, the UN, every institution, including church growth and emerging church, is built on this hierarchy of felt needs. It's the very foundation. So if we're built, supposedly, for the sake of world peace and harmony on this structure of thought, let's read a little bit about the mind of the man who is noted for putting this structure together. Well, here are just some comments. Maslow writes in his journal, "So it looks as if nudism is the first step toward ultimate free animality, humanism." In other words, he ties man to animals. We all have these same common sensuous needs. He says, "It's the easiest way to take. Must encourage it." Encourage what? Nudism. Look at our culture. Only trouble is, I feel uneasy allowing myself with nuts, fringe people. Oh, this is supposed to be an open-minded guy. Now listen to this. Nuts, fringe people, borderline characters, as in number one, ANKH, the tip-off. There are only young, shapely, and beautiful bodies. Now he's talking about these nude fests that they had in California, and he attended regularly. He was involved with Esalen, where they were naked and running around within a week. It was all intellectual, by the way. You know, it was all dialogue getting together. But it all then went to this erotic Eros liberation. And so Maslow's writing this. Now, if you love Abraham Maslow, you send your child off to college to get a degree in anything, even engineering today, it's polytech. He or she is going to sit in a college class and learn to incorporate Maslow's hierarchy of felt needs in their evaluation of everything that's worthy. And here's this man. He writes, yet nakedness is absolutely right. Huh. So is the attack on aneroticism, the Christian and Jewish foundations. What are those all built on? Those are a patriarchal paradigm. He said, we must move in the direction of Reichian orgasm. Wilhelm Reich said, it's the large family that produced fascism. I mean, this guy was a nutcake. He was a fruitcake. I have on my website some comments by Wilhelm Reich. He was a diabolical, a pedophile. These were perverse men, degenerate men. They're worshipped today. Reichian orgasm? He says, this movement can be dignified and Apollyon, in other words, intellectual, and can afford pornography and neurosis and ugliness. Not true. In other words, the only way you're going to do that is put enough cameras around and enough police state, and then force people through intimidation, shaming, to participate in a process that is of the flesh. I mean, it's cyclical perversity. It's a cycle going downwards, the abyss. He then writes, I must put as much of this as possible and usable in my education book, and more in succeeding writings. Marxian theory needs Freudian type instinct theory to round it out, and of course, vice versa. In other words, this was the Frankfurt School. They merged Freud and Marx. Marx had the sociological end of it. Freud had the psychological end. He had the individual. Marx had the social. Now, Marx said the social is the key to understanding the individual. Freud actually said the same thing. They were both dialectic. The environment is what creates the person. Remember, the environment stimulates pleasure. Pleasure is in the mind. The mind then looks into the environment. What created the pleasure? Let's create an environment where we can all have pleasure. Now, if somebody comes in and interferes with that pleasure, then we need to dialogue, because dialogue is the only means possible to convey to somebody else what it is in the environment that triggered your pleasure. And if they're interfering with your pleasure, and they're actually wanting that pleasure too, maybe somebody gave them a law that interfered with their pleasure, and if they could be free of that law that interfered with their pleasure, you would be freed of not having relationship with them, because their condemnation on you doesn't make you feel good. And therefore, if we can put aside our differences, whoever transforms the most is the winner. And so what you want to do is have everybody a winner. So we have a win-win situation. If everybody puts aside any restraint to this self-environmental dialectical cycle, then we're all free. And so therefore, the Frankfurt School realized it wasn't enough to just shoot people, these people with cannots, must nots, thou shalt nots, this is my land and not your land, 2 + 2 = 4, and cannot be any other number. How dare you be so prejudiced, judgmental, because somebody else might feel or think it's 5 or 6 or some other number. And these guys are out there. I meet them. So he says, Marxian theory needs Freudian type instinct theory. That's social psychology, by the way. That's just simply a merging of Freud and Marx. Freud, whose whole foundation is built on homosexuality, built on Orpheus and Narcissus. Orpheus is, everybody is a potential homosexual. You just don't know it yet because somebody has come in and put rules in your life. Freud's idea of the civilization was a father and a mother, father, husband and wife, who had children, a father and mother, therefore they procreate, and the children have all these sensuous self-environment cycles going, and the children practice incest, in other words, they're behaving without any rules, just following their impulse. The father sees this, he calls it polymorphously perverse behavior, not that Freud believed it was just that he says the father set up some rules. And this is correlating with God setting up some rules with Adam and Eve. Now, they hadn't sinned. He just set the rules up. And therein, then the child becomes frustrated because every time they're going by something they naturally want to relate with, they can't do it. And so some of the children rebel. And the father then drives them out of the tribe, and that they come back and kill the father. That's that. Once you realize the traditional family, the earthly family, is God's secret. So they kill the father and they eat him. They annihilate him. But then they do. They realize Dad fed him, and this is Freud. This is his story about how you and me and all civilization is. This is our foundation of psychology. No such thing as a Christian psychologist. Impossible. because a believer, a true Christian, is patriarch in structure. This is heresy. And emerge the two. What harmony is Christ with Belial? You're a fool. Professing to be wise, you become a fool if you call yourself a Christian psychologist. Impossible. Impossible. You ever seen the law of God in a psychology class and study it and let that be your foundation? All the law does is just show you you're wicked. There's no good in you. There's no righteousness in you. And therein you would look for the one who is righteous. See, and then accepting Jesus Christ, his righteousness is imputed upon you. Therefore, you can't earn anything. It is a gift from God. It's called grace. You have literally become legalistic. Wow, they say, oh no, we're free. No, you're legalistic. You have bound man to the laws of the flesh. That's a law. Bow down and worship Mother Earth, Gaia, and the cosmic forces. That's all. That's all any Christian psychologist can do. Is you take you to the gods of this world. They have instantly, the moment you move in that direction, the moment you turn and you look and you embrace that way of thinking, you have just literally taken fire and put it on your bosom. You are burnt. You're cooked. And you, oh, by the way, if it's tied to dopamine, which it all is, you'll think it's okay. It's good. Oh, it's nothing wrong with touching the tree. Why can't I do that? Oh, you won't die. We can just do a little psychological evaluation here. Ask you how you feel and what you think. And before long, you're eating of the tree. And knowledge of good and evil and God's word becomes irrelevant. It's called progressivism. It's a process. But it's not a process to God. The moment you disobey, you disobey. And so that was the key to psychology. And by the way, if the children can have incestual relationship with a mother and don't procreate, that structure, you got to understand, sometimes you got to think of this through. That's homosexuality. That's pedophilia, bestiality. The whole agenda is not to procreate. It's just to have all the sensuous desires. Freud considered all children sexually active. So go ahead and call yourself a Christian psychologist. You're a hypocrite. You simply practice heresy. That's your foundation, is heresy. Heuristic. Change. Let's just practice change. See? What you're just doing Karl Marx. You're just a good Marxist. You don't know it. You're deceived. You can do it in Jesus' name. Jesus said, there are those who come to me and say, Lord, Lord, look at all the wonderful things we've done in your name. Look at all the counseling. Look at all the human relationship in Jesus' name we've done. And his response is, depart from me, you were in the worker of iniquity, because I didn't know you. How does he know you? You died to yourself, environment cycle. You died to yourself. You denied yourself. You picked up your cross, by the way, which means you share the truth and get martyred by everybody else. That you won't find that in any psychology class. Impossible. So you're a hypocrite. You're a liar. And you're following Satan. He was a liar from the beginning. You're just no different than the scribes and Pharisees. And folks, most of our ministers out there are practicing the dialectical process. See, and God will not be mocked. See, God will not be mocked. He will judge you because you think you can use the system of the flesh for him and you can call that Christian? No, that's not Christian. But you just simply embrace this Freudian part, which is a unity part, and Marxist part, which is a unity part, and Freudian part, which is the individual and the feelings part. So you move the unity and the feelings. We all have our feelings, physiological needs, self-esteem needs, self-actualization needs. We all have those sensuous needs. If we focus on that, we can all justify that God's just a little too hard here. God just goes too far there. And it doesn't take you very long. Right there, you've already moved from obedience to him. And so he says this Marxian theory needs Freudian type instinct theory, instinct, impulse, to round it out. And, of course, vice versa. Abraham Maslow, he says, I've decided to get into the world federalist, become pro-UN and the like. The whole discussion becomes species-wide, one world, at least as far as the guiding goal is concerned. To get to that goal is politics. So these guys had to get into your local community, your education system, work environment, politics, and the church. And is in time and space. In other words, that's the temporal. And will take a long time. They knew that they would die before it was accomplished, but they were certainly working and enjoying doing it in the classes. We paid them well. These guys lived in California. Maslow lived in California. Fancy home, flew him all over the world. We just gave him wonderful meals to enjoy the destruction of youth in this nation. and cost much blood. Wow. You know, Alexander Solzhenitsyn went to Boston University, and he called them all bastards. He said, "You've laid our nation to waste. You destroyed our culture." Bloody process, folks. This is a bloody process. You know, just think about it. That baby in that mother's womb, that blood in that baby is not the mother's blood. That's not the mother's blood. That is an individual, a separate individual from that mother. And when she aborts that baby, she took innocent blood. See, and that blood cries out. That's why this nation is going to be judged, harshly judged. It already is. People understand. We are slaves. This whole system makes everybody slaves to the flesh. It is a ruthless judgment coming. And it's not just on God's judgment. He's going to judge the nations. Why? Because we have counted the blood of innocent children. We've practiced the fires of Moloch, you know, surgeon's knives. Am I saying, you know, we need to cry out to God for this? This is God who must bring this nation back to repentance. Repentance means you quit talking about it. You don't do it. You realize your conscience is alive and well. And you realize what you're doing is wrong. And that will not happen without the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And therein, you're not going to find this from the pulpits today. Oh, they're going to preach can't we all just get along? And it's just, I shared this in one meeting, by the way, about the blood is the baby's blood. And then it was a minister who said, well, it's just, it was just a parasite. Now, he's playing the devil's advocate, but he was no different than Satan who came along and picked that kernel, that seed off the road that somebody else might have been hearing. This is these guys. They like playing the antithesis so they can live in the synthesis world, so they can be at the top. They're full of pride and arrogance, and they're the worst of the worst. It's better that they were never born. And then Maslow going on, he says, a caretaker government could immediately start training for democracy. That's tyranny of the masses, by the way. Self-environment dialectical cycle. And self-government. And give it a little by little as deserved. In other words, your rights are going to be removed. Inalienable rights are given to you by higher authority. Human rights are lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. So when you come in and say, no, that is not right, and they'll say, well, who gave you that way to, you know, you're sort of prejudiced. No, it's God breathed. God said it. It's His word. Oh, it's just your opinion. No, it's not my opinion. It's God's word. Karl Marx said, every truth, every ideal must be treated as opinion. They can't accept anything as an opinion. They glaze over. This is why even Christians, quote unquote, who come to you and you share the scriptures and they glaze over, because they can't accept the word of God as is. It would condemn what they're doing. This is why you must trust in the Lord with all your heart and quit leaning to your own understanding.